Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is the business of serving the Lord. My scripture comes from Romans 12, 11, 12, 16, and 17, which reads, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Be of that same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. My text is Romans 12, 11, which states, not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We mistake our religion if we look upon it only as a system of notions and a guide to speculation. No, it is a practical religion that tends to the right ordering of the conversation. It is designed not only to inform our judgments, but to reform our hearts and lives. The foundation of Christian practice must be laid in Christian knowledge and faith. There is no other way to heaven but the way of holiness and obedience. The three principal heads of Christian duty are our duty to God, to ourselves, and to our brother. The grace of God teaches us in general to live godly, soberly, and righteously, and to deny all that which is contrary hereunto. Concerning our duty to God, we see what is godliness. The promise is John 7, 16 and 17, which states, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. A good wit or good mind can dispute and distinguish about the will of God, while an honest, humble heart that has spiritual senses exercised and is delivered into the mold of the word, loves it and practices it, and has the relish and savor of it. Thus to be godly is to surrender ourselves to God. When this is done, to serve him in all manner of gospel obedience. Wherefore do we present ourselves to him? But that we may serve him whose I am, and then it follows whom I serve. To be religious is to serve God. How? We must make a business of it and not be slothful in that business. Not slothful in business? There is the business of the world, that of our particular calling, in which we must not be slothful or lazy. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 states, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. But this seems to be meant of the business of serving the Lord, our Father's business. Luke 2:49 states, And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Those that would approve themselves Christians indeed must make religion their business, must choose it and learn it and give themselves to it. They must love it and employ themselves in it and abide in it as their great and main business. And having made it our business, we must not be slothful in it, not desire our own ease. We must not drive on slowly in religion. We must be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God must be served with the Spirit, under the influences of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do in religion, it is pleasing to God, no further than it is done with our spirits, worked upon by the Spirit of God. And there must be fervency in the Spirit, excuse me, a holy zeal and warmth of affection in all we do, as those that love God, not only with the heart and soul, but with all our hearts and with all our souls. This is the holy fire that kindles the sacrifice and carries us up to heaven, an offering of a sweet smelling savor. Serving the Lord, that is, improving your opportunities and making the best of them. Complying with the present seasons of grace, rejoicing in hope. God is worshiped and honored by our hope and trust in Him, especially when we rejoice in that hope. Take a self-satisfaction in that confidence, which augurs a great assurance of the reality and a great value of the excellency of the good hope for. Patient in tribulation, thus also God is served. Not only by working for Him when He calls us to work, but by sitting still quietly when He calls us to suffer. Patient for God's sake and with an eye on His will and glory is true dutifulness. Those that rejoice in hope are likely to be patient in tribulation. It is a believing prospect of the joy set before us that bears up the spirit under all outward pressure. Continuing instant in prayer. Prayer is a friend to hope and patience, and we do it to serve the Lord. It signifies both fervency and perseverance in prayer. We should not be cold in the duty, not soon weary of it. This is our duty, which immediately respects God. Thousands of seniors are still dying of COVID-19. Do we not care anymore? By Judith Graham, KFF Health News, updated Thursday, February 8, 2024. While there has always been discrimination against the elderly, the pandemic made their lives even harder, advocates say. The COVID-19 pandemic will be a wake-up call for America. Advocates for the elderly predicted incontrovertible proof that the nation wasn't doing enough to care for vulnerable older adults. The death toll was shocking as we report of chaos in nursing home and seniors suffering from isolation, depression, untreated illness, and neglect. Around 900,000 older adults have died of COVID-19 to date, accounting for 3 of every 4 Americans who have perished in the pandemic. But decisive actions that advocates had hoped have not materialized. Today, most people and government officials appear to accept COVID as a part of ordinary life. Many seniors at high risk aren't getting antiviral therapies for COVID. And most older adults in nursing homes aren't getting updated vaccines. Efforts to strengthen care, quality in nursing homes and assisted living centers have stalled amid debate over costs and availability of staff. And only a small percentage of people are masking and taking other precautions in public despite a new wave of COVID, flu, and respiratory syncytial virus infections, hospitalizing, and killing seniors. In the last week of 2023 and the first 2 weeks of 2024 alone, 4,810 people, 65 and older, lost their lives to COVID, a group that would fill more than 10 large airliners, according to data provided by the CDC. But the alarm that would attend plane crashes is notably absent. During the same period, the flu killed an additional 1,201 seniors, and RSV killed 126. It boggles my mind that there isn't more outrage, says Alice Bonner, 66, senior advisor for aging at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. I'm at the point where I want to say, what the heck? Why aren't people responding and doing more for older adults? It's a good question. Do we simply not care? I put this big picture question, which rarely gets asked amid debates over budgets and policies, to healthcare professionals, researchers, and policymakers who are older themselves and have spent many years working in the aging field. Here are some of their responses. The pandemic made things worse. Prejudice against older adults is nothing new, but it feels more intense, more hostile now than previously, said Carl Pillemer, 69, a professor of psychology and gerontology at Cornell University. I think the pandemic help reinforce images of older people as sick, frail, and isolated, as people who aren't like the rest of us, he said. And human nature being what it is, we tend to like people who are similar to us and be less well disposed to the others. A lot of us felt isolated and treated threatened during the pandemic. It made us sit there and think, what I really care about is protecting myself, my wife, my brother, my kids, and screw everybody else, said W. William Achenbaum, 76, the author of 9 books on aging and a professor emeritus at Texas Medical Center in Houston. Who will care for older adults? We've plenty of know-how, but too few specialists. In an environment of us against them, where everybody wants to blame somebody, Achenbaum continued, who's expendable? Older people who aren't seen as productive, who consume resources believed to be in short supply. It's really hard to give old people their due when you're terrified about your own existence. Although COVID continues to circulate, disproportionately affecting older adults, people now think the crisis is over, and we have a deep desire to return to normal, said Edwin Walker, 67, who leads the Administration on Aging at the Department of Health and Human Services. He spoke as an individual, not as a government representative. The upshot is, we didn't learn the lessons we should have, and the ageism that surfaced during the pandemic hasn't abated, he observed. Ageism is pervasive. Everyone loves their own parents, but as a society, we don't value older adults or the people who care for them, said Robert Kramer, 74, co-founder and strategic advisor at the National Investment Center for Senior Housing and Care. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you